Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest Anfield Index Under Pressure podcast. And with me to discuss the absolute shellacking at Wolves, Wolves 3, Liverpool 0. I have two of the team. Phil's on his way, come back from cricket practice. I have my namesake, Mr. Daniel Rhodes, our resident data collection guru. Evening, Rhodesy.
Evening, Dan. Collecting the data on this shit show is not enjoyable. Just when you think you're getting right to the bottom, the nadir, we go lower. We managed to go lower.
Well, that was going to be my first question. I mean, and we might as well do it now. I mean, I thought Brighton was the nadir. Is the rock bottom? Is this actually worse?
I think so. We'll come on.
Yeah. And we've got our most practiced sports scientist. It's Mr. Simon Brundish.
Indeed. This has to be worse, Darth. The Wolves are shit.
Yeah.
Brighton are good.
Yeah. 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 I think you're right. So just when you think the bottom has been reached, you know.
Yeah.
there's light at the end of the tunnel, but it turns out to be an oncoming train.
Yeah, or you fall off the end of a cliff again.
It's just a false flat. Oh, my word. Anyway, right, let's get into those lineups, Si, because the lineup was, going back to last week's show, it's the lineup we wanted. Okay, he switched Darwin and Cody round, but it was the lineup we said was we should probably start the next game, and we saw it.
Yeah, at this point, I don't know what more he could do to appease the dissenting fan. That this is the team that the majority of FIFA playing lads would play, I think. As we discussed last week, I'm less convinced about Darwin and Gakpo's positioning, but okay, is this? I can't really argue. It's theoretically on paper, this is their natural positions.
Yeah.
Problem is, the first 15 minutes of the game totally changed any idea of patterns that we could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Implement.
I don't think the first two goals have got anything to do with whether Cody was playing a false nine position or not, have they?
It's just pure, no.
Yeah, it's all on the defence.
I actually think the first one, there's a little bit more on further forward than just defence. I think Stefan had a little bit to do with it. His positioning had a little bit to do with it, and I think probably Cody could have been involved a little bit more against their eventual pass.
Mm.
So, but yeah, it was less than perfect from them, and it was a shit show from the defence.
And any thoughts on Wolves' changes from the two recent matches? Say,
I thought playing Nunes off the left was an interesting ploy. And tactically, they set up to ping down the right and play off the in the way that we used to set up to drop the ball over the halfway line to the general vicinity of Bobby, knowing that he's not going to get the ball. They did that towards their right wing, towards Robbo, behind Thiago and Gakpo, and hope to play from there, switching out to the left hand side, so Nunes could play make.
Yeah,
it was interesting.
And they had two relatively new signings up front. Well, obviously, Cunha was there in the last match we played against them, but they had the Sarabia, the lad from PSG up front as well, making it, I think it was his debut, wasn't it, Rhodesy? Sarabia?
Yeah, I think so.
And Lamina, was Lamina a debut as well from the midfielder?
Yeah, it will have been.
Yeah. So a few changes for them.
Didn't you find it interesting how Jimenez went from being one of the better players in the league to just he doesn't even get a game?
Yeah, since that
injury. And they're shit.
Since that injury, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, dropped off the cliff, didn't he? Or maybe he just had a very short peak.
Yeah. It was a fractured skull, to be fair.
Yeah, big deal.
Yeah. Now, Roti, Jurgen had won all 8 league matches against Wolves coming into this game. They've given us some good games over the... They've given us some, you know, pretty tough games, I'd say, in the past few years.
Yeah.
At various points. But we've won 8 out of 8. Not so this time. And this was a thoroughly deserved defeat, right?
Yeah, on all levels. Jurgen, I thought, did a fair assessment in the game in his post-match. When he said,
did he?
Well, he just said, you cannot do things like that in the first 12 minutes. You can't make defensive errors. We gifted Wolves 2 goals. And while there might have been some good stuff at the end of the first half and the start of the second half, it's just the end of the game, and everything that we try and implement tactically is just gone because the game's a totally different setup. And while bits of that are true, because I think we did have a good half an hour, the rest of it was that bad still. You know, we'd conceded one big chance in those first 12 minutes, and then we conceded another 5 after it. So whatever we were doing wasn't working. Phil's here as well, by the way, Dad.
Yeah, evening, Phil.
How are you doing, boys? You all right?
Yeah, we're just starting the post-mortem.
Oh, God.
I'll ask you the question I asked the other two. We thought that Brighton was rock bottom. Was this worse? Your view?
In some ways, yes. Because I thought a lot of things were avoidable, whereas Brighton, I think we just got outplayed.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, that's a consensus. 4 out of 4 then. Agree, it was worse. So, Rosie, but let's finish off that match summary before we get into the gory details.
Yeah, we've had some bad match summaries. Not quite sure there's been this many this bad. We had a lot of volume. 22 shots to their 12. It was the kind of volume that we used to have against Burnley when they're sitting in a massively deep block. Our shot quality was terrible. We had 1.6 XG and one big chance out of those 22 shots. And even worse, we hit the target twice. So that is one of the worst shot accuracies I've seen from a team with 20-plus shots. We usually have about 40%. That's unbelievably bad. Out of Wolves' 12 shots, half of them were big chances. Every single of those 12 shots was rated at a 20% chance. So it's like conceding 12 really good chances. We made 2 defensive errors to their 1, and there was a bit of difference in the XGs. Kelly only had us with 1.2. But Opta had us at 1.96. I think they Opta had extra on the 2 Robertson shots from the Cater that was blocked on the line, and then Robertson had 2 shots. But neither of those were awarded a big chance, but Opta gave them higher value, I think, than Kayla. But otherwise, Dan, it's terrible. I think we've now officially gone into negative big chance difference for the season. And while we are creating 3, we're conceding 3.07 or something. It's just shockingly, shockingly bad.
So those 2 errors, Roti, defensive errors, which ones? There was the Matip one in the first half, 25 minutes in, when we were already 2-0 down. He just basically tried... It was just an inexplicable decision-making, wasn't it? His head was already gone by that point, clearly, yeah?
Yes.
It was the Nunes big chance, wasn't it, which Alisson saved.
Yes, Alisson saved, yeah. And he's done that a lot this season. As we'll come on to, I'm sure, it's the second most big chance. We've conceded the second most big chances in the league this season with 63. Dan, how many have we conceded since the World Cup break?
Oh, we're top of the league, Rosie. We are top of the league. That's one league. Have that, people. We are top of the league. Most big chances conceded since the World Cup. 20th. Worst in the league. Yeah, 23. And the league average is 12. Next worst is Villa with 20. Then Leeds with 17. Palace 16. At the other end of the scale, Newcastle have only conceded 3 in 6 matches.
Can you remember those days, Dan?
Yeah. But like Chelsea 6, City 6, United 7. Yeah, that's where these teams are. But yeah, 23, almost 4 per game. And you know, you can paper over the cracks against Leicester, you know, when they score 2 own goals and stuff to help you win. But good God, yeah.
He's our top scorer, isn't he? I've seen that little meme going about.
Since the World Cup, yeah. Wout Fass is our top scorer.
Robertson was the other one with the defensive error.
Now, which shot did that lead to? That was with Traore, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah. Well, how did that was 65 minutes, so I can't remember the Robertson mistake. What did he do?
I can't remember it either. I just checked it then. Yeah, Traore block shot.
Yeah, it was just from inside the box. It wasn't a big chance. What's that?
Did you get dispossessed?
He could have got caught on the ball. Bart, can you remember that one? 65 minutes, Robertson error.
No, I just saw it from my notes. I haven't got that. I wouldn't have put that down as an error. I think he lost the ball, but I
8% chance anyway for Traore, and Nunez's one was a 31% chance though. That was a big chance.
Well, that was a big chance, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Was that the one where he was trying to be really cute with the finish, the chip, and he kind of fluffed it a bit?
No, that was
Jimenez
at the end. When they were three, was that when they were 3-0 up?
That was when they were 3-0 up. Yeah. But did he mean it or did he just miss it?
I don't know. Actually,
I thought he just started digging over him, but
he's so out of form, though, isn't he? It's one of them, isn't it?
Right. So let's talk about first 12 minutes even, and you know. Sai, I mean, how does a team that's had 8 days to prepare for a match start the game that badly? You've been in a lot of dressing. You've been in a lot more dressing rooms than us three.
Who knows? They knocked it down the right. They probed. They tried to play the ball in behind.
No, no. They had 2 shots even before the goal.
I suppose we just had such a big disconnect between the... Do you know how we've been so compact?
Yeah.
And we started much wider. Yeah. And so there were gaps.
Yeah.
And they just used the gaps. It was just weird. We gave the ball away 6 times in the first 4 minutes.
Yeah.
That's why. Then if you start to spread too early in your build phase and you lose the ball when you take a risk and lose the ball, or they press high, which they did, and they get the ball, instantly you've got massive gaps for them to break into.
And that was the problem right at the very start of this season. That was we were literally wide open. Yeah.
But if you, and if statistically, if you look at our lads, they're pretty much everybody is down from a ball retention perspective. But we're losing a massive number of aerial duels compared to before, and the winning the ball back duels all over the pitch is down. So we are both forcing possession, forcing passes because we're not in form and we don't really know how we're playing. So we're making mistakes before we're set, and we aren't recovering possession from anything that's launched towards our defence. The opposition are coming out with the ball. So the ball's just in the way that Fab used to shield in front of the back four. If they even lost possession, which they would on only 30% of lofted passes towards our defence, that he was just there to recover the ball. And that's just not the case anymore.
Mm. Yeah, but you know, you said did you say 6 times we lost possession in the first 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Because didn't we hoof it literally right from the first kickoff?
First kickoff, yeah.
Yes.
We always do that, but we hoof it to the right on
the oh, right,
okay. Side.
Yeah. Yeah.
If only we had two 6-foot strikers. Yeah. This genuinely might be the tallest strike force we've ever fielded, and neither of them will head the ball unless there's a goal involved.
Yeah.
Even then they struggle.
Well, they can't, but they try when there's a goal next to them.
Yeah. Just at a slightly tangential point, I mean, I thought Cody was really weak in that opening period. I mean, Gags has given him 3 failed presses in that first 15 minutes. And I think he had fingerprints in both the goals, you know, with weak challenges and stuff. He doesn't look ready for the Premier League. Do you know what I mean, Si?
47% passing.
47?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But physically as well, he doesn't look right for the ready yet.
I don't know. Maybe it's a bit quick for him.
But, you know, in terms of strength as well or conditioning?
I don't know. Do you know what? I think the whole thing about the strength of the league is a bad understanding of the language. That it's not like our lads are stronger one-on-one physically in an arm wrestle. It's just not. It's not true at all. The difference between the leagues is that you're allowed to get kicked more in England, so you have to be more robust.
Yeah.
And you have to play the ball quicker because someone's just about to kick you in the leg.
Yeah.
So it's a tempo thing that we have here, alongside their horrible weather. But against the other big six league, the other five big leagues, it's about tempo. It's about the amount of high speed running rather than the total, but it's definitely not to do with like how strong you are.
Yeah,
he's a big, strong boy. He should be able to.
Well, he looks like he should be.
Really should.
But you know what I'm saying? Is it just me, or have you got like any concerns about him?
I had way more concerns than everybody else, but I also didn't know him and didn't look at his numbers before he signed for us. And his numbers actually stack up really nicely against the other two forwards we bought.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It kind of looked that way last week. It kind of backed this up, but I like the positions he takes up and the times he's moving. I think he's tactically much more astute than the other two. But I just don't see, you know, sometimes when we bought somebody, you go, oh my God, those two look like they played together for years.
Yeah.
Plug and play. Just really good players that they make a run and receive a pass at the right time from in the right direction at the right speed, but just because it's the right one. And he doesn't look like he's done any of that.
Yeah.
He puts himself in the right position. He just doesn't make good runs, like threatening runs, and he definitely doesn't make a threatening pass.
Looks like these three haven't played together, doesn't it? And it's so obvious.
Very much. How often are Gakpo and Darwin like stood on each other's toes? They were so visible towards the latter half of the second half. There were moments where we were breaking before they scored the third goal. There were moments where we were breaking and they were looking almost directly in each other's eyes to which direction they had to move because they were both going to the same place.
Well, Phil does the brilliant Liverpool player touch areas, and you can see in both halves and then the full-time one, the crossover in touches between those two. Some people might call that rotating, Simon, but it looks to me like they're getting in each other's way.
Do you know what? The other thing he wrote that's really disturbing from looking at those images, you know that a line is four passes. Yeah. There are no lines between, there's one line between Gakpo and Nunes, which is in the first half. That's a thin line. Other than that, there's no lines between any of the front three.
And Gakpo's supposed to be the connector.
Exactly. And he hasn't, I mean, second half, there are up to first subs, there's one line between Gakpo and Nunes, nothing between Salah, Nunes and Gakpo. You look
Cody.
second half, there's no lines between all three of them for the whole second half.
You can't have 754 touches in a game and Mo Salah gets 39. You have to find a way to get him the ball. I don't care if he's not in good form. You're not going to be in good form if you don't get the ball. I'm not saying that's not the outcome of this is not even up for debate. You can't have a process that causes this.
So just to round up, I did look at all our individual players for the attack, because it's a big problem since the World Cup and I want to come back to it. But just on to wrap up the Gakpo conversation, he's played almost 500 minutes now in a Liverpool shirt. Obviously zero goals and zero assists, but 13 shots. So that's 2.4 shots per 90. Three shots on target. So it's a 23% shooting accuracy. 1.1 XG in total, which is 0.2 per 90, 0.46 expected assists, which is 0.08 per 90 for a wide forward in or any forward in Liverpool system. That's just way too low. And his expected goals plus expected assists is 0.28 per 90. So just to give you an idea of other players at 0.28 per 90 in the Premier League this season, we've got Enoch Mwepu, Junior Stanislas, Adam Forshaw, Kiefer Moore, and Dom Solanke. That's where Cody is right now, I'm afraid, in his output. Anything to add, Bart? Should we move on?
Was he 2% for his shots he took? I mean, if you want a positive, he had 4 successful duels in the final third.
Mm.
But I mean, that's one side of his game, right? But other than that, I looked at the pass rate this morning. I'm glad Si mentioned it. I was like 46.7%. That can't be right. I went and checked it 4 times. it's so low. He also received 10 progressive passes. So he's receiving good ball. Mm. It's just, he's then not doing anything with it. I think the one thing I worry, I mean,
we used to say that about Origi on this pod.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the one thing that worries me is, and maybe this is again a bit like Sight. I haven't seen him before playing, right? So I've got no idea what Kayev is like. I didn't watch him in the World Cup, as you guys know, but I thought he'd be a bit quicker. And it's my big concern, always my concern with Harvey, he's not quick enough to play wide forward for us.
Mm.
And that's my problem, I think, with Cody at the moment, is that he's turning on the ball at times, but I think some of that is also in the process where he's not synced to the way we're playing. So he's not turning in the right direction quickly. And then he's like, oh, okay, I've got to go and do something. It's not, the whole front three don't work as a sync, which doesn't help him. No. And I also don't think he's got the electric pace like Darwin, if you get him out of trouble.
No. And let's be honest, it was Nelson Semedo he was up against. So
yeah. But it's like you play him in the middle, he's probably up against, he would have been up against Dawson and the other guy. But do you know what I mean? He would have had half a chance. He's done well for the last 3 games. And we debated on here about whether we switched him left or keep him in the middle. But yeah, my worry is a little bit that I thought he was good on the ball and he has shown glimpses of that. I thought tactically he was smart, but it just, I think maybe the sinking and general, his ability to be quick physically, are slowing it down, which makes him look worse than he maybe is.
His top speed's similar to Diaz, though, isn't it? Aside from those figures,
not quite. But he's not slow. But the difference is that between speed and quickness is the first 3 steps. That he is a big guy and he runs like a big guy. Darwin is a big guy and he runs like he's 5'4".
Yeah. Darwin looks like he's sort of been trained to run, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah,
he's just on. You can't be that rapid with out having an absurd amount of fast twitch muscle fiber. He is just so fast.
The problem with Cody is he will always be compared to Sadio because Sadio was electric over 5 metres.
Instant speed.
Yeah.
Can I make 2 quick comparisons here, right? That I've talked before about Ibu and why I think he looks better this season than the others. So I would go, probably Matip is not a good comparison this season, but typically Matip, I think Gakpo is to Matip what Darwin is to Ibu. That they are both, those two are so electric that they are fast enough to cover up for their cognitive mistakes, their decision mistakes. And the other two aren't, but they usually make much better choices and their positional play is better. So I still have hope that Gakpo is going to be really good, but I like the ceiling for both of those is an 8. And the ceiling for Darwin and Ibu is a 10 because of their innate physical qualities.
Mm.
But Ibu is way less dumb than Darwin.
Yeah.
But I would like to say in this system, not just in this system, but in this failing system, it plays into Ibu's hands. Because he's not a positional player, he's not a system player, he's the defensive equivalent of a street baller. And so he's constantly putting fires out, whether he's put them out himself the whether it's a fire he's created himself or he's covering for a mate, but he loves putting fires out.
Yeah.
And we really need somebody, we need a fireman in this defence right now.
Yeah, and when we did the Leicester pod, or was it the Villa pod, and we talked about Gakpo for about 20 minutes, even at PSV, his passing numbers were terrible. But there was an assumption there that it was because he makes high-risk passes and a lot of crosses and set plays, which have low completion rates. But based on what he's doing so far, I think we can just say he isn't maybe... You know, it's not just that. Maybe it's that. You know,
I would love a high risk pass. I'd love to see him attempt one,
because his XA for PSV was very high. But you got to remember, it's the Dutch league. You know, so maybe his passing, you know, is something to keep an eye on. Maybe his passing
is not trying it, is he? He did two key passes in this game and one progressive, and he had a XA of 5%. Yeah. I mean, that's not someone trying it.
His XA in playing for PSV is going to be higher because they're always at the top of the league.
Yeah,
and he had set plays, right?
Yeah. But if they're a good team that are always scoring goals against shitty opposition, somebody's got to have made the pass.
Yeah.
And we're just not there right now, are we?
No.
And
I said we needed a fireman for the defence. I think we need a fire prevention officer like Van Dijk back in the defence. We need to stop the fires starting. Never mind.
But he's been there all season. Right. I think the fire prevention officer is fab at his best.
I was going to say the fire prevention.
No, the fire prevention officer is Nat Phillips, who's coming next week.
Do you get a bonus or something if he plays?
No, you can guarantee he's playing against Evan. Absolutely guaranteed.
Jesus, that is a terrifying thing.
We're just going to go physicality. We're going to get the most physical 11 we can on the pitch.
Oh,
and that will not be Joe Gomez against Everton. Really?
Yeah, but mate, it wasn't great at the weekend either.
Yeah.
Virgil might be back.
I mean, you're sort of picking your poison there, aren't you? You know?
Yeah. Anyway, that was our way of delaying the analysis on the first 12 minutes by talking about Cody for 10 minutes. Right. Can anybody talk us to the two chances before the goal? Because they were both pretty shocking. Really, in terms of the destruction and how it allowed it. Bart, so you got any thoughts? Do you have enough recall of it?
I don't have enough recall of that, no. I've only got the goal window.
I remember one that led to a long shot.
That was Cooney after 2 minutes.
Yeah, but the next note I've got is the own goal. So
yeah. No worries. So we've obviously all slept since then. But yeah, so let's talk about the build up to the own goal. Structurally, a bit of a mess. Si.
Indeed, but I actually think you're right. It does the same thing basically happened just before when there was a big long when it was Nunes long shot. Whoever picked Cunha. The ball up in midfield. Was it Cunha long shot? Yeah. But that came from forcing the play down their right-hand side and our structure not being ready to pick the ball back up. And there is an easy pass into midfield. And for their first goal, there was a little bit of interplay down the right-hand side. We tried to win the ball back a little bit too early. Cody was nowhere near. They slipped the ball completely unmarked midfield. And it went back to, I don't even know who made the pass. I'm not sure who the Wolves players are. They slipped a lovely ball inside right. By which stage that there was a total chaos across midfield that Gomez tried to pop out, wondering whether to come and pressure the through ball, and Matip. Wasn't entirely sure whether to drop in or not, but then eventually did, which pulled Trent across as well. And then it's just bad luck. It's terrible bad luck. At that point, the structure was okay. I think we had the pullback covered. But it's just bad luck when you get that. He was there for the block and it just bobbled off his heel onto his knee and into the far post.
Was it not bad structure and application by some of the players that led to the bad luck?
Which is what I'm saying. The bad luck came, so it came only from the block. But up to that point, it was a shit show.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, I agree.
Any thoughts on why it was so easy for Wolves to open us up down our left? Because that's usually, let's be fair, historically, it's usually been our stronger side. Teams have always attacked. They've never attacked Virgil and Robbo. They've always gone the other side.
I thought Cody was way off the player, so he didn't press him.
Yeah.
And therefore, they allowed them time on the ball to just put a side, so put a lovely ball in the inside channel.
Yeah.
And then I thought Matt, rather than stuttering, should have gone. I'm not saying it wouldn't have been unlucky, but he would have been right in the player's face, if you like.
Yeah.
You never know. He might have not taken the shot off, might have pulled it back. But I thought that delay made the player's mind up of, I'm just going to hit this.
Yeah.
But I thought it started from Cody not pressing down a wide player.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Do you think on Joel Matip, we haven't seen him as much this season, but you could look at him and say he's suffering from the same, it looks like symptoms as Fab. In terms of the speed of thought, fleetness of thought. He looks laboured.
He looks in like, is it catastrophe theory where one thing goes wrong and then the whole deck falls down? He looks like he's waiting for that to happen every game. It's like, I've made an error. Oh, the whole game's going to go to pot. And it's like, before it would have been, made an error, it doesn't matter, let's go again. I'm not sure whether, I don't know whether you saw Cara mentioned something at the weekend about how, you know how good a defender is when the leader's not there.
Yeah.
You do have number two centre backs.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe we've got three number two centre halves.
I think Ibu's actually number one. I think he's always been number one.
But he's not playing, is he? I'm just saying.
People have to react off Ibu because he makes irrational decisions. but proactive ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I think the weekend we played two number twos.
And Matip and Gomez, they're cover first.
But all four members of that pack four are very experienced senior pros, right?
Yeah, but it's still different. You spend your whole career not being that.
Yeah, yeah. But in the first half, they looked like they'd never been coached. They were as a defensive unit, they were horrendous as an in. It was just four players playing as individuals, trying to just do the best they could as individuals. As a unit, they were just shocking.
Yeah. Do you know what? I there was a little bit, right, where the ball came out to whoever put it in again. I don't know. I really should look at the assist.
It's Wolves. Just say Wolves player.
Whoever was playing right midfield at that point. Gakpo was too far away from him. I actually don't think he made a mistake. He was too far away. Just because that's how the play had formed, because it had already been in behind him and then it came back out. Gomez came out to press. And at that moment, whoever was playing six should drop in. And he didn't. He stayed where he was, which caused this unmarked lad, because Matip already had a lad. He was already marking. And El Nui, or whatever his name is, was high. So Trent had to beware of him. So he couldn't come round. And it was caused by the overload was caused by the six not dropping in. Like, and you can't blame the 18-year-old kid.
No.
But it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I think Gakpo is foul press.
We're going to blame the back four, right? The back four were actually not in a bad position at all. It's just a consequence of there's one fella behind Bajetic. What's he called?
Bajetic, and
between him and Robbo, neither of them picked him up. I think at one point Robbo was like, "He's your guy," and he presumed Robbo had picked him up. But then Robbo had seen that they had a winger unmarked, so Gakpo had the winger next to him, which meant because Robbo had tucked in, which meant that he couldn't go and press the fullback, or whether it was one of the midfielders, I'm not sure, but whoever it was in the fullback position. So yeah, there are just these little tiny errors of, I wonder even if it's an error of communication. It's like they don't all speak the same language now. I think that's very possible. They don't all speak the same language. So maybe there is some football English slang going on the pitch, and some of the lads that don't speak English fluently or are new didn't pick it up.
Yeah, Robbo was captain as well, wasn't he? So maybe second.
Robbo, do you know Robbo? Robbo is lining up to be the worst captain in Liverpool's history.
Yeah, but you know, it's another voice. It's a different voice from a different position being captain. I don't know. I'm just trying to make excuses for basically sure. We didn't.
Well, you know, if he's captain, he's got to try and organise that back four.
Yeah, it's from a fullback. I never like captains at fullback or wide. I have to say that's me. Bit of a weird thing, but I prefer it centrally because you can see the whole picture. Yeah. But.
We always say this, and we've already said all this stuff about the defence, right? And we didn't point out that yet again for the 437th time in the last two seasons, there's a goal scored from an offside being played where Robbo had played him onside.
Yeah,
yeah. To be fair, we haven't actually talked about that much this season, but yes, absolutely. There's a recur. There's a for long time listeners. There's a golden oldie. Right. Rosie, should we talk about the second goal?
Well, the second goal is caused by a foul from Gakpo, who presses badly.
Concedes a free kick,
yeah.
And then Huang.
Yeah, and then we've just been discussing about more poor defending from Robertson when the initial free kick comes in, leads to a floated cross that comes back, and Kilman's header's blocked by Gakpo, in fairness. But then Gakpo doesn't react quick enough and Dawson gets the shot away. So that was two big chances. Gomez and Alisson also don't communicate initially. Yeah. It looks like Alisson's coming to claim it, but Gomez reacts and flicks it on. So, yeah, two big chances in one move.
Nice finish, though.
Lovely finish from Dawson.
Top of the net, ripped it, yeah.
Top of the net. It's not hard from there, though, is it? I mean,
I don't think Dawson placed it. He just leathered it as hard as he could.
He just leathered it. He went, I'm going to do it. It's really hard. And no one's going to get in the way. But it's another goal. Could have been avoided. Ali calls for that. Just get out of the way.
Yeah. One thing we talked about the first time this team played together, I think it was against Chelsea, maybe even against Wolves the last time. Teeny tiny team, but.
And then as we've hypothesised from all of us, including Si, is the two tall lads that would pull back into defence to help heading didn't head the ball.
Yeah.
Either, you know, that ball went over, was it? That one went over twice, didn't it? I think the initial went again and again and no one wins a header.
And
the smallest guy in the pitch, one of the smallest, Joe, wins it when he shouldn't have done.
And Si, Cody's in mid-zone, isn't he? On set plays now in our defensive structure? Or is he back? He's in one of the marking zones, isn't he?
Yeah, he is mid-zone, yeah. He can take Bobby's position.
But you've got to have a player who's want to go and attack the ball and win the ball and be good in the air, right, for that?
We're running out of lads that'll do it. Yeah, that's the problem.
It's true. Yeah.
Who are you going to put in that there, team, there? You've got Thiago.
Thiago's
the most aggressive header in that team.
He's checked out of all the players. I'd say he's number one, isn't he, on the players who've checked out.
I'd imagine there's only so much shouting that you can take from this little Scottish fella behind you.
Yeah. But he hasn't got legs to stand on after that Wolves third goal, though, has he? Thiago.
It's the third goal. I don't think it's his
third
fault.
Third goal, that's not his fault.
The slightest.
He looks at the third goal.
I don't even care.
He looks at Neves and then he just lets Neves walk straight past him and doesn't put any effort in it. That's unforgivable, man.
Yeah, he might be knackered. He's played every minute.
Stop making excuses for him. It was shocking.
Should have sorted out in their half.
Yeah. But
he might be shattered.
And Matt was there as well.
There is no doubt in my mind. Half of these lads, for half a second, getting on for these third and fourth goals we're conceding, have gone fuck it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And it's only Ruben Neves. It's not exactly an express train coming past you. It's more like
but you see it in Robbo. Robbo turns to go with Traore on the turn and goes, fuck that, I ain't doing
right.
that.
So just to be clear, you're not saying Thiago's done anything wrong there?
No, I'm saying that's the final error. There are multiple points through that move that we could have prevented that goal.
Yeah.
And if you want to look at players chucking a towel in, your captain on the day turns and look at Traore and goes, yeah, I'm bothering with that.
Yeah, it's true, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he does get back, and we're 3v1 in the box, and he still allows Traore to pull a ball across the box. He's captain of the day. Yeah. That's your standards.
Yeah, I agree, because he's held to an even higher standard because he's wearing the
other. Exactly. I mean, to be fair, he was close enough, could have taken him down. He would have got a yellow. wouldn't have been anywhere near it. Do you know, there's so many points, and I get what you're saying. Yeah, fair enough. On that one instance, to prevent the shot, Thiago and Matic between two of them should have done better, right? I get that. But there is, that's not the most onerous error for my point in that move. I mean, Gomez, I don't know why he doesn't go and clear the player out. He's got three players behind him.
Yeah. So just talking about Joe Gomez, Roti, did you say that Alisson called for it and then Joe just heads it anyway?
I said that, yeah.
Yeah.
So another mistake, another small mistake from Joe and just leads to something bigger.
Yeah.
Between him and Cody, it's three goals, isn't it?
Yeah. So four shots and an own goal after 12 minutes. Two big chances. Rosie, XG, do you know what the XG was after 12 minutes?
Because there was a good chunk there. It was about 0.9 for that goal. 1.2?
Yeah, it was on understat anyway. It was 0.8 to 0.
All right, there you go. We'd not even had a shot, had we?
No. So how did we approach being 2-0 down, and what did we try to do? What was our response, say, in our game plan? Obviously, the original game plan was out the window. So what did we do at 2-0?
Deliberately, I've no idea, but I do want to stick up for Joe here a little bit.
Go on.
The in that cross, he was doing the right thing.
Okay.
The time between the cross and it potentially getting to Ali was less than 0.2 of a second. Right. There's no way in the world Ali could have reacted and shouted.
Yeah, because it wasn't a corner, was it?
Floor.
Yeah,
it was already off the floor.
Yeah.
So, and we are also surmising that Ali claimed it. Like, there's no way for us to know that.
Yeah.
But I do think it was too fast. He had the ball. We'd still got to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying that he played well. That's not like, I'm just saying that I don't think that thing was his fault. It was just more bad luck. I think he positionally did lots of different stuff that should have been punished, but that was just that's just a random bad luck. So after this, I think the first 10 minutes was just, let's keep the ball for a little bit. We had two 14 and 16 pass moves at one point. They didn't get anywhere, but it was just like...
Is that just because Wolves let us?
Yeah, ostensibly. Wolves let us. I think what happened until half-time was Wolves went, that'll do for now, and then allowed us sterile possession without us really trying to force or create anything.
Yeah,
I wouldn't even go further than that. I don't know what else we were trying to do. I don't think we penetrated them at all.
Yeah. Rosie, the Nunes, our first shot was a very nice one, to be fair. And it was out of nothing. And to be honest, it was a bloody good save. If that goes in at that point.
Absolutely superb pass from Thiago to create it, yeah. And it's a good shot. I think he probably increased the post shot side. I'm not sure. I haven't looked into this one, but it was a good effort on target.
Yeah.
Although, he could square it for Salah to tap it in.
You reckon? Yeah.
I was going to say, Mo was unmarked for a tap in.
Was he?
Yeah. That's that. Play the percentages.
Yeah.
But Mo is literally unmarked twice, three times in this game. He doesn't get a ball. Two from Darwin and one from Trent.
We've seen Mane square it. We've seen other players who have played.
Yeah, no, but 2-0 down. Play the percentages.
That's what I mean. We've seen others do it, but then it's a striker taking a shot after being.
Yeah, the only thing, it's a good shot. It's into the box, though. It's not. Do you know what I mean? He turns it into something good. But for me, it's just roll Mo in, and we might actually get something in the game, because up to that point, Wolves have gone. Do you know what? We'll see you after half time.
Yeah, that's right. Did you?
That was a shot from Press. Gakpo did well.
Yeah.
It was. There was three shots from Press in this match. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Good call. Forgot about that. The Wolves' pattern of play, though, was basically, like you said, let's have the ball. And then they got a big chance on the break from the error by Matip, and then they got another big chance from another corner, such as our vulnerability to set plays. But yeah, so we seem to huff and puff a bit, we seem to try a bit without really, the cutting edge wasn't there, the decisions wasn't there, the quality wasn't there, and it was just like a bit pot shotty, wasn't it really, Si? First half?
I think we persisted with the same stupid let's play our fullback in midfield that Guardiola invented. And it, like, even Robbo was doing it at one point, and Naby was playing really wide. He kept going really early, so it was obviously by intent, given that it was the same side as the touch as the dugout. So they were prompting him to do this, and it just left too many gaps. I don't understand what we're doing. I don't understand why we need this sophisticated nuance. It just, we improved when Trent played on the touchline.
Yeah. But we spent all of August, September and October talking about this tactical system and these tweaks and all those things you just described, and that they weren't working. And then why did we choose to go back to it this game?
I do. My only thought is that the idea was to drag their midfield away from the centre. So it was knowing that they tend to be a man defence, it was to run a gap for Trent to run into. So drag Nunes away with Keita and leave an inside gap for Trent to build from. It doesn't make sense to me. I thought it was a terrible idea. It worked out terribly, and yet another game where we were out tacticked.
It's good to say Nunes was very wide though for this game.
Yeah,
and I thought it was, that's what attracted Naby to it, because I thought the same. So I thought Naby's way too wide. It wasn't high; it was just really wide. But I think he was over with Nunes.
Which was transport.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying I don't know why he was doing that, but he seemed to be over with Nunes, which then pulled over Bacic into an area which left Cody and Thiago and Robertson, obviously 3v2, you know, 1v1 or whatever. There was a space over there which they exploited for both goals. So it may have worked for Wolves, but I don't know why we did it, because we hadn't been doing it for the previous three games.
Yeah, in terms of the pressing, Keita's targets were nearly all on Nunes or Eight Nuri. So
yeah, and if you look at his area, I said to you, didn't I? His area for this game was absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Compared to in fact, Thiago and both our eights, the press zones were almost double the size of the previous three games.
Yeah,
which is madness. We'd sort of gone to this compact.
Yeah,
you do this zone, you do this. Yeah, let's do this really, really well. As I said, let's go and play really, really big.
Well, it was clear from the game plan that you know, there was a choice there, because we went Darwin down the middle and Cody left instead of what we've done.
Yeah.
What? I mean, we debated last week about whether we needed to continue with Cody in the defensive role, but we've gone. What was your thinking about the coaches, our coaching team thinking about, let's change it back, let's go and try and do this again like we tried back in the autumn? What? You know, in this match, what do you think they were trying to do, Bart, from your perspective?
I think they can. I think they only thought, a bit like we discussed in the last pod, was that maybe they didn't. They thought we didn't have to worry as much about their midfield because they played a two. Yeah, they played a 4-4-2, so it wasn't a three. So they thought, right, okay, we'll do this. We'll put in their head, yeah, their most expensive side in the forward down the middle on Dawson. And the other lad, I can't pronounce his name.
Kilman,
right? So they put our forward at them and they've gone, right, okay, Cody, you do your bits there, Mo, you do your bits there, potentially. Yeah. And they thought that Batacic and Thiago could deal with the two and Naby could deal with help out. Yeah, maybe that's what they were thinking, but I don't... It's like another change. So the bit I don't understand, and I haven't understood all season, our changes is that you just start building something and then you just change it. So you've started to build a pattern of three games in a row, you're doing the same thing, everyone gets used to it. Yes, we said the last half an hour was horrendous last game, right? But fundamentally, that first 60 was something to build on. It was solid. We didn't do any of that. We didn't, for some reason, we came to this game and went, do you know what? Yeah, let's go back to this changing setup for the opposition. I don't understand it. I can't fathom why you would do that, because Neves and the other lads playing in the middle of the park are good ball players.
Hmm.
But they're 1v1 battles. So I think they're better than us in there. So that's one, they're beating this 1v1 we're there. We then moved out our next best presser in the middle of the park, Naby, to go and press a very tactically astute Nunes, you know, a progressive player. And then they got an injury on the wide right, so they had a speed merchant down there up against Cody.
Yeah.
So it just, none of it made sense to me. I don't know why we didn't just go in and go, right, let's get to halftime, safety, compact, and then build from there. And we could have had the chaos engine on the left-hand side. Not a problem.
Hmm.
But down the middle, it just opened up the channels through the park. And then you've pulled out Naby wide right. So you've not only opened the traffic up, if you like, going through in the middle of the park, you've left two people in there rather than three.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much like Al Nouri might have been, because he does bomb on and he's a good player.
He is good. He's very good.
He is a good player. Yeah.
They tried to block off that maybe and try to leave Mo higher. So Naby would have to come across and do that, knowing that Gakpo would more likely drop in.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing was flawed, but we can't say that because we were 2-0 down before anything happened.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Game state could be some of it, but it did look like the original game plan to me. But anyway,
for sure. Do you know we had 3, 4, 7, 8 players with less than 60% ball retention.
Yeah. Not just not functioning in any department. Thoughts? Can I ask you a quick question on Matheus Nunes, on the Wolves player, because this is now the third Wolves manager to move him out of the midfield into a position, a double position. Seeing as he continues to be linked with us for a summer move, any thoughts on that?
I think he's a tidy player. I wouldn't sign him to solve our problems though.
Yeah.
Three managers have moved in wide.
Hmm.
And the options in the middle of the park are Neves is a good player.
Matinho is an older
player.
Yeah. He's a veteran now, isn't he?
If he's not getting in over him in the middle of the park, then suggest to me that maybe he's missing something. I don't know. But yeah, I don't see him. But I've seen him what, 3 times now. I don't see him solving our issues in the middle of the park.
I mean, he's a nice player, not what we need.
Yeah, not what we need.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, okay. Right, second half, Si. Talk to me about the contrast start of the second half versus the first half and the tactical tweaks and everything to do with that, please.
I honestly think the biggest thing was that they allowed Trent to go forward and made him stay wide. They basically went him against Al Nouri one-on-one and it allowed us the man advantage in midfield. So we got to keep possession and play through them. We had like 68% possession for the first 15 minutes until Hendo came on.
Yeah.
And we created a couple of chances, kind of looked nice.
Yeah.
But
it was nine shots to one in the 20 minutes after half time.
Yeah. Yeah. The caveat of that was they were winning 2-0.
Yeah.
That was it. They didn't care.
And I don't think we created. Did we create a big chance? I don't think we created.
Yeah, we had the Nunes break.
Yeah. That's a one, but one in that amount of possession, I would have thought.
Yeah.
After 66 minutes, Dan, according to Understart, the XG's were level.
Yeah.
It was just ours. We're a series of 8, 9, 10% chances.
Pot shots. Yeah.
What do you guys think? Right, that I see Nunes, I can see his quality and the things that he is good at, the chaos that he causes, and it's all in transition. Like, yeah. I can potentially see Gakpo doing something when we have possession. What is it that Darwin brings when we got possession? Where is the threat? In
structured build-up.
Where is his role when we have structured possession?
To get me another cross.
He hasn't got a role in build.
No. He just has to try and play off the shoulder of the last man, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So we've created a system to try to create those opportunities.
Yes. Well, no, I don't think we've done it, because I think it's pretty clear now that we've bought him without a plan of how to use him. I think it's like, well, we'll buy him. We like him. Or some people like him. So we'll buy him.
32 crosses in this game, dudes.
And then we'll figure out how to use him later. Because it's the opposite. When you profile players, when you recruit and you profile players, you buy players to a plan. You buy them for a system. And that's why so many of our previous signings look plug and play.
Yeah.
They're coming into the right role to utilize them from minute one. Whereas Nunes, we're still working out how to play. And so like you said, what is the plan? What is the system with him?
Just for reference, for anybody that doesn't listen to Double Pivot Pod, there's like a minute and a half. They're doing this takedown of Chelsea this week. And there's a minute and a half where they, by accident, ramble about Liverpool's recruitment team. And that explains away all of this in 90 seconds.
Go on, can you paraphrase?
For 90 seconds, they basically said they got smarter people in charge at some that recruit people to do a particular job, to work like an American system, in that they've got a front office, which they call it in America, whereas the GM, who has strategy of how a team plays and who plays in that team and what tools are available, the coach implements that and gives upstream suggestions of things that he needs to make his system work, and the front office go and acquire those tools.
Yeah.
They aren't buying players. They aren't buying reputations. They're buying tools.
Yeah. Roles, yeah. Profiles. Roles. Yeah. Roles, profiles. Yeah.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah. So they didn't say we're doing that now, are they? Sorry.
No, they're saying we're not doing it now.
Yeah, so we used.
But that wasn't the point of their. They literally were saying that that's what Chelsea are trying to do to do the thing that we used to do. That was the context.
But they now have 42 players.
Chelsea aren't doing the thing that we. Yeah, yeah, but they bought a whole bunch in, but they're already blurted so much money on the type of player we're buying now.
Yeah.
Or they're buying. They bought like a bunch of very expensive, famous players before, and they don't have anywhere for them to fit now. And we seem to be like loads of corner pieces on a jigsaw, and no one's quite fitting in. But I just, from statistical perspective, 32 crosses, and those 6'3" groks can't get their head on the ball.
Yeah, shocking.
Yeah.
So again, what do they do apart from transition?
Yeah. And how often can we create that transition? Yeah. Yeah. Rosie, I think we're being a little bit mean on us in the 20 minutes after half time, because I thought that I even allowed myself to think that, you know, this is on here. The Wolves were absolutely on the ropes. I thought we were playing really well.
Klopp said exactly the same thing. He said if Nunes scores that, it makes it 2-1, and it could be a very different ending.
Well, the Keita one, isn't there? The Keita one, which ends up with a handball shot as well. Keita doesn't really hit the shot very well, and then there was another chance, and it ends up going to kill Dawson's arm.
Yeah. Robertson gets... he's got two shots in that move, hasn't he?
Mm.
And he was close to goal, so I thought they might get higher, but that's what I mean. Opt to have given him about 20%. But not giving him a big chance. So, yeah, that chance as well. And on the pressing, then I thought there was some decent figures there, just maybe not as a whole. The three players who had presses that led to a shot were Bacetic, Gakpo, Nunes. So they did contribute something, and they all had like five or more. And it's quite a nice balance between the players, if you look. They've all got like 20 presses. The efficiencies are decent. I thought the main issue in this game was the our on ball, like Si's discussed, Gakpo's.
It was one of the first times I can recall.
Passing accuracies were terrible. 32 crosses, that's an on ball error. I missed the ones from Matic, the defensive ones. I didn't think the issue was pressing in this game. I thought it was.
No, it wasn't.
Duff, did it not remind you of Brentford away? After half time, where we came out and gave it a real good 15
minutes.
But we didn't actually create anything Yeah. Like Nunes had a chance there. It was offside, right? He had a chance here. He missed it. I'm not picking on it. I'm just saying it reminded me of Brentford away. And then we got done on the counter.
Yeah, I think it was a bit better than Brentford in my opinion.
It was
the first time I can remember in a while that we've actually penned a team in and kept them there for a while and they couldn't get out. And then they made the double sub on an hour, didn't they, to try and alleviate
same
it.
As Brent, And you're right. And
they brought Moutinho and Jimenez on.
They did, which helped kick the ball.
Yeah, they went to 4-5-1, they did, didn't they?
They did, yeah. But Naby shot. We haven't got a left back who can shoot, you know, because that's how many times have we seen Costas and Robbo not have a shot and Nunes. But so, yeah, I think you're right. It just reminded me very much if we came out after half time like Brentford away, 2-0 down, and we gave it a good go. But and then, like Brentford, we ran out of puff and they got themselves back in the game on 70 minutes.
Yeah. Right, chaps, I know we've got to talk. We spent this match was all about the defence, right? And since the World Cup, we've conceded 11 goals, right? Which is the 19th, second worst in the league, right? But we have to talk about the attack, I think, because since the World Cup, we are 5.5 goals on underneath our expected. We've scored 6 from 11.53. That is a Siberian level cold streak. And to be honest, if we were converting, if we were scored in our, you know, as to our XG, we would have probably we would definitely have got more points from these matches. Definitely.
I'd suggest we'd be in and around top four.
You mean since the World Cup?
Since the World Cup, yeah. Look at the,
I'm not sure.
When the World Cup broke, what were we, 7 points down? 5 points down from top four? The gap's now increased to 10, whatever it is, 11.
Yeah.
In those games, Si did a great thing about the go-ahead or equalised goal.
Yeah.
We've missed those chances. You only need two or three of those to go in, and we close that gap pretty quickly.
Yeah. So we've already said big chances conceded were the worst in the league since the World Cup. Shots on target conceded were 17th. Expected goals against were 14th. But in the attack, shots were third. Shots in the box, fourth. Shots from open play, fourth. And XG, fourth, right? So we've got a top four attack and a relegation defence. But, Rosie, I mean, the attack is just... It's just not functioning in any way. And also, everybody's snatching at chances.
Yeah.
So it's horrible.
Since the World Cup, we started against Villa. 7. Amazing. Quality stuff. Although we conceded 4. And then against Leicester and Brentford, we had 3. And then against Brighton, 2. And then Chelsea, none. And we also had a 0 in the FA Cup. And then against Wolves, 1. And then you've got Nunes, who's what? Converted 4 out of 19 big chances, is it? Or is it 4 out of 20 now? That's Siberian cold streak.
Yeah.
You can't sustain strikers. With, I think Haaland's about 60%. We know the average is 38% it's just it's.
But Darwin, right?
And the ones we're getting, we're missing
385 minutes since the World Cup. That's over four matches, 0 goals, 0 assists, 23 shots now without scoring, 3.4 XG. So he's still going at 5.4 shots per 90 and 0.8 expected per 90. Very high numbers. But it's killing us as a team.
It is. And as a team, our record is only 25%. So our team record of converting big chances this season is exactly what Nunes has converted. It's that bad. But everyone is. And, I said... We need to concede fewer big chances and our strikers need to get hot and the absolute opposite's happening.
But neither of those things are happening, Rosie. I can confirm. But all right, so Mo Salah, right, he's played every single minute since the World Cup, right? He's got 1 goal and 1 assist, both against Villa. The most worrying thing for Mo is he's only getting 2 shots per 90 minutes.
Yeah,
that's less than half of what he used to be for most of his Liverpool career.
Tactical flaw in the system.
Yeah, he's still creating 0.25, very good numbers out of the created. But his expected, in terms of his expected goals, is 0.37. So in overall, there's not much attack coming out of him. So Nunes is having all Mo's shots. Mo's creating a bit. Nobody else is scoring. And Mo's output is down 30%. This is what Si said a couple of pods ago about, and Salah and Trent both being suppressed in terms of their output this season. And, you know, 0.62 per 90, you know, it's not bad by Premier League standards, but it's way below Mo Salah standards.
Yeah. He's up at one.
I mean, why is he only two shots per game, Rhodesy?
That's
the Rigi levels.
Why would you give someone such a rewarded contract and then not use him? He's been our shot monster. Since Suarez, he's been our shot monster, and the outcomes and results have been record breaking for the club, and now he's getting two shots a game.
Yeah.
He's not had a single big chance in 2023.
And that is the big stat, because that's our problem.
It's systematically failed. It's like you look at all the past maps, whatever you want to look at, each maps, we're just not getting in the ball.
Mm.
And even in this game, as we've all said, there was three opportunities to pass to Mo unmarked in the box, and the player didn't take that choice. And Mo's going to score one of the three. Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, we're not doing it. Whether it's coaching, I don't know, but it used to be the whole function of the team
was to get Salah
in dangerous positions. Yeah. He's in dangerous positions and we're not passing the ball.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. His dribbles are down. Two dribbles this game.
Yeah.
One successful, one not, which is not good for him either. They're from a lower position. It's just his whole game is completely changed. And I have no clue why you would spend that amount of money on a player and then change him into a wide winger.
The problem is I remember us in the COVID season going 86 shots in open play without scoring as a team, Rhodesy. We know it can happen, this kind of thing.
Certainly can happen, and it's happening, and we're living through it. I mean, I think it's a lot worse than then.
Yeah.
Well, the back four is worse, isn't it?
Well, we had a look at it last week, and we're only conceding two.
It was 0.95, wasn't it, XG?
Yeah.
0.95 XG and 1.8 big chances all the day. Heady days.
Luxury. It's like both ends of the pitch are failing now, whereas at least during COVID, only one end was not.
Yeah.
Can I add a bit of context to the big chances?
Yeah.
So Mo's had 8 big chances this season when the game is clutch, would be a big goal.
Yeah.
So 0-0 or 1-0 or there's one goal within the game. Yeah. And he has failed to score with 3 of those. And even one of those was against City when he did score.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't lose points because of that. Darwin and his 20 big chances has. Do you want to guess?
18.
Yes,
and he scored 2 of 18.
Oh, 2 of 18. Oh my words!
In clutch 2 of 18
when the game is on the line. Yeah.
That's even worse than
normal. That's Benteke levels, I'm afraid.
Yeah. It's the points that just they would make the world of difference to us. And the thing is, when we were good, if Mane wasn't scoring, we would just create another big chance and someone else would.
Yeah.
But when we're creating so many fewer big chances, if you take out 2 games, Bournemouth and Villa, like that makes a big difference, the number of big chances we're creating.
We always used to say it all the time. We could carry one of the front three going through a slump, but the team would struggle if there was 2 of the front three off at the same time.
Yeah.
We always used to say it.
So but now, every side, but every now side. We're only creating for one.
Yeah.
And he's not
finished. And he's missing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't sacrifice. It's like sacrificing Messi for bait and then sticking a Dharma up front.
Yeah.
Cody in this game had one shot. I've got one shot. Ox had one shot in 5 minutes on the pitch.
Well, I reeled off the players that Cody's producing at the level of. Then Adam Forshaw and
yeah, I know, but
Junior Stanislas.
It doesn't help you, does it, when you've signed the player who's not shooting. At least Diaz, we had a go at Diaz for being making the wrong calls. At least he was having a shot. Do you know what I mean? He was doing something with the ball.
Yeah. And we know, right, so positives, right?
Yeah.
But Jota's back in training, right? Negative. Jota hasn't scored since last April, I think it is, right? Something like that. It's going to be coming up to a year now, calendar year, since he's last scored.
How much has he played, though?
Yeah, I know. But yeah, remember, when he was playing, he was on that cold streak, wasn't he, in front of goal. Anyway, Bobby, right?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't played since the World Cup. What is the problem? Do we know?
Apparently he's had a relapse. But Simon might have more inside information.
You know what the injury is with Bobby, say?
No.
Okay.
He seems to be fine in Brazil doing his preaching.
Is that where he is? He's recovering in Brazil, is he?
If you look at his Instagram.
I don't follow him on Insta, sorry.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that's where he's been for the last few months.
Right, okay. But he hasn't played since the World Cup. And then Diaz, if we're lucky, you know, he'll be back in training in May or something, right? So it's these three, really, for the next month, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then maybe Jota from the bench.
Or you, I don't know.
Back to Ox,
have many issues, but he does does shoot.
Baby Fab.
He's not going to use Baby Fab as Franco, is he? He's not going to use Baby Fab.
No, not against Everton.
No, he's not.
Well, he tried it last time. Yeah. All right. Right. Do we have anything positive to finish on? Anybody? Come on, boys.
City broke their centurion record.
We might get an extra title. We might
get two, three extra titles. Great. Well, that is actually something to be pleasantly pleased about. But that's about the only positive. I was saying in the chat, wasn't I? Normally when City lose at the weekend and they get, you know, wrapped over their knuckles for fiddling the books, you'd be well happy, wouldn't you? Because you'd be in for a shite with a title.
Yeah.
Now it means so little that we're so far off the pace. It's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Like one line answers, staying with you, Dan, what's going to happen? What's going to be the punishment?
For City?
Yeah.
God.
I'll tell you, I reckon it's going to be 50 million fine and 2-year transfer ban.
I don't know. I mean, God, I don't think they'll be stripped of any titles. No, I don't think we're going to get our titles that we want. I don't think they're going to be stripped. If they all cash in, maybe a relegation, maybe. But I don't know. I'm not holding my breath.
Die.
£127,000 fine.
Well,
I've got to try and be positive. It just the new chairman in, as I said, wants to make a mark. New Premier League chairman.
So Scudamore's out, is he?
Yeah,
Masters is out, is he?
Yeah, there's a lady in charge. Can't remember now. I think she'll want to make a mark, because if she doesn't make a mark now, she's never going to, and Newcastle are going to run ripshot over the league. I think if they're going to make a stand, it's got to be now, and I think they'll get relegated. I don't think we'll get titles, but I do think they'll be stripped of them.
So they'll be stripped but not awarded to anybody?
Yeah, but the problem I've got is, as I've posted in the chat, there is no, if you look at the rule book, there's no actual penalties written.
Yeah, because we're in the uncharted waters here.
But in every other league, there is.
Yeah.
Like if you do this, there is. So the Premier League just went, no, you won't bother with that.
So you agree with the Fleet Street theory that this is the Premier League has to do something?
I think they have to do something.
Because of Newcastle and because of potential more overseas money coming in with all the clubs for sale. Do you think they have to make a stand now?
I'm choosing to believe they have to make a stand now, or they never will. All right, they're the cynic and meek is with all the three of you, by the way. They're just going to get a slap on the wrist and a fine. But if they're going to make a stand, it's got to be now. There is no other way. Otherwise,
after Chelsea get away with it, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm so just saying that.
Chelsea got away with it for 15 years. And then City have got whatever happens to them at this point, they won six leagues. Like those fans had the joy of six leagues. Who cares about whether they get to keep a trophy or not? They lived the joy.
They lived it. And that's the thing, is if we could get those back, right? And I think, Darth, you said about it'd be nice for Stevie, right? But he doesn't actually get to live that.
No. It's just in the record books, isn't it?
In the record books.
Yeah. All right. Right, there's your positive. We will be back, and it's probably going to be, the Everton game is on the 13th. We'll probably be back Wednesday the 15th for the Derby game. And until that point, up the Reds. Sports Social Podcast Network.